If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to deal with an important subject of hijab according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But let's listen to a short biography before we start our program. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for having me on this program.
You're welcome. Well, we are happy to have you back in the studio again. Would you shed some light for our dear audience about the meaning of hijab first, before we endeavor this program?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, hijab is an Arabic word meaning barrier or partition. Literally speaking, it means barrier. In Islam, hijab is not about barrier only.
It's so what's it about?
Yeah, it has a broader meaning, and it has something to do with the principles of modesty. And it is, in fact, the principle of modesty itself, because hijab is modesty. So because it includes the individual's behavior as well as the individual's dress.
Dress
and
code?
Of course, dress code. And the hijab is not only for men, for women only. It is both for men and mm-hmm. women. And obviously, it's not only women who are supposed to observe the hijab, and of course, men are also supposed to observe the kind of modesty that are required, that they should. There are some standards of modesty for men also, and these standards must be observed by men as well. Now, the most visible form of hijab, obviously, is the head covering mm-hmm. that many Muslim women wear. And when we talk about hijab, usually people are reminded of the scarf women wear. That is one of the, you know, the most visible form of hijab. And hijab, as I said, goes beyond the headscarf. In a religious context, actually, hijab is used as an expression to convey an act of covering all parts of the body except the face and the hands. We know very well, because we have of course discussed this issue in the mm-hmm. past as well.
Yes.
That women are not are supposed to cover all parts of their body except the hands and except the face and the hands up to the wrists. That's what the Islamic...
But not the feet.
Yeah, of course, the feet should be covered. Mm-hmm. The feet should be covered. Not in during prayers, because if you are praying, if a woman is praying, obviously, she is not supposed to cover her feet when there is no one seeing her, when there is no non-mahram or marriageable man nearby to see her without socks without something covering her feet. So covering the feet during prayers is not necessary.
A must, yeah.
But if there is a non-mahram present, then she must observe. She must cover her feet as well.
Yes.
And let me also, you know, just say that hijab actually is not, you know, according to all religious authorities, and of course, according to what we read in books, hijab is not particular to Islam only. Hijab
yes.
existed even in the pre-Islamic era,
yeah.
and it still exists in some religions and some cultures. Of course, the religions have changed over the period of time. They have been tempered with. And that's why many, you know, Christians and many Jews do not observe hijab, while they are supposed, according to their religion, mm-hmm. to observe hijab.
Yes.
Of course, they have their own words. They don't use the term hijab, but
yes.
we use the term hijab. They all probably use some other words,
yes.
which we have no information about, of course.
Right.
Now, when it comes, you know, there is an important question which many people ask, and that's... whether the Quran, for example, whether there is any verse in the Quran which might clearly refer to it or not.
Yes, let me postpone it to after the break, okay?
Sure.
Thank you very much. I'm really sorry for cut you short. We'll actually reach the break, so let's have a break, and then we'll be back and continue our program on English Radio.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about the important subject of hijab with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, before the break, you were referring to a question regarding whether there is a verse in the Holy Quran endorsing hijab, right?
Yeah. Well, as I said, there is an important verse, and of course the most important verse in the Quran about hijab is the verse 31 of chapter An-Nur, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is the most important reference for the hijab in the Holy Quran. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلِيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Now this is a lengthy verse, of course.
Yes.
Now I would like to read the translation. And tell the faithful woman to cast down their looks. يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And they should guard their private guards. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. And they should not show their ornaments and their charms, their, you know, their mm-hmm. beautification and so on.
They should not be ostentatious or showy.
Yeah, showy, of course. And of course, إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, beyond what is acceptably visible, because there are some parts of the women's body which mm-hmm. are visible and they mm-hmm. cannot cover them because yes. they have to live in the society. They should move and interact with other people.
Like the face that you said.
Sure. And then let them draw their scarves over their bosoms, you know. وَلِيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جَيُوبِهِنَّ. This is the most important part of the verse. Let them draw their scarves over their bosoms. And this means that the scarf at least is a must. And when the scarf, when a woman is wears a scarf, that the scarf should be long enough to cover the woman's bosom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's very
important. In other
words,
the chest area.
The chest area,
or the breast area.
And this is one. This is one of the verses in the Quran. Of course, there are numerous traditions about hijab, based on which the scholars, the ulama, the religious authorities have derived and deduced Islamic laws, and given their fatwa.
Uh-huh, I see. We have a very, very short time till the end of this program or this episode of Islamic Laws. Sheikh Javid, would you be kind enough actually to talk about the special way or method that hijab should be observed according to the Islamic dress code? Because you also mentioned that in the other religions, they also have some kind of dress code, whether they practice it today or not, that's another story, right?
Yeah, sure.
So would you?
Yeah, of course. A woman must cover her head, hair, and body, as we said, except for the face, hands, from the gaze of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about strangers, we are not talking about, you know, about close relatives. They are not strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Those men that are marriageable, they are called strangers according to Islamic Sharia.
Right.
And another word for strangers is, you know, non-mahram men. So men, a woman should cover these parts of her body from a non-mahram man or from non-mahram people. And of course, she must not show her adornments and her makeup, her beautification, her ornaments. For example, if she's wearing gold bangles or bracelets or rings, gold rings, these are ornaments.
Yes.
And these are things that must be covered by the woman. The same is the case with the makeup. If she's wearing makeup, if she's wearing, for example, you know, eyelash extension.
Right.
You know, these are beautifications, these are adornments,
mm-hmm.
and these are things that, of course, must be covered. So there is not a special method, okay?
Right.
Every nation, every culture might have its own method of hijab, its own
method
modest
covering.
Clothing.
Yes.
Modest clothing.
Yes.
Of course, Iranians have their own chador, their
yes.
veils, and Indians have their own you know,
Lebanese have their dough.
Sure.
Yeah.
Lebanese have their own bushiers, and
yeah.
they call it bushia, I suppose. And that's, you know, even they cover their faces.
Right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you for listening to this program of Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me and the rest of the crew. We say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا